Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for all you have done for us at Calvary, for dying on the cross, for suffering for us. And we especially worship you this morning and thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that you give us power to live above sin and temptation, and that we too can look forward to our resurrection and our meeting with you in heaven. I pray this morning that you would be with Paul and Rebecca and Sage. I pray you would comfort them. Thank you that you are a God who is in control, and you see the future as clearly as we remember the past, and we trust you for Sage's life and for directing her in the future. And I pray that your will be done. But Lord, our desire would be that she could again stay with Paul and Rebecca. And we want to honor your will for her life. I pray too you would be with Stanley as he drives the bus for SMBI this week. You give them safety as they travel and help them to be a blessing to the communities that they share in. And also for Jason as he enters Vietnam and passes out scripture, I pray that you would provide safety for them as well and guide their steps. And may you use your word to lead souls to the kingdom. I pray you'd be with Carl this morning. Thank you for that he is here, and I pray you would bless his topic. I pray that he would be able to share clearly what you have laid on his heart, and that your spirit would speak to each one of us, and we could all be challenged and appreciate what you have done for us. So thank you again for being with us. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to worship with you. I've been blessed so far. I trust that the Spirit of God will continue to have his way in us as we worship him, and as we do so in spirit and in truth. The Lord is risen. Maybe I took you by surprise. Let's try that again. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
That sounds better. One phrase there in one of the songs we sung said, Let youth and age alike sing Christ is risen today. I trust this morning that you are here because you have experienced the risen Christ. I trust this morning that you are here. You know exactly what we are talking about when we say the Lord is risen indeed. Because of our own personal experience that we have. Because of the fact that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Because of the fact that you who were dead in trespasses and sin have been quickened. Been quickened. This morning I've entitled the message, and I struggled for a title for a message this morning while I was studying last evening. But I entitled the message, A God Who Still Moves Stones. This morning, aren't we thankful for the fact that we have a God that still moves stones? Are you? Amen. Don't be afraid to say amen. Say amen. Are you thankful for the fact this morning that we have a God that still moves stones?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, praise God. A God that still moves stones. And if you are here this morning, struggling, and finding yourself being a failure and defeated all the time, I encourage you to get in touch with the God that still moves stones, because He wants to open that door for you. He wants to let the Spirit, His Spirit within you, that will quicken, enlightening, and give you the power that it takes to be victorious for Him this morning. I'd like to read from Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. From verse 1, just a few verses here. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. One of the other Gospels I read said that an angel, there was a great earthquake, because an angel came and rolled away the stone, and I love this part, and sat upon it. The angel came, rolled away the stone, and sat upon it. This morning, as we consider the empty tomb, as we consider the foundation of our Christian belief, the empty tomb. I like the fact that it's more than empty. I like the fact that victory was gained right there. Victory over death and sin. Christ the conqueror. The women were concerned. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone from the sepulchre? Verse 4 said, For it was very great. This morning, brethren, I am certain, and not from what I've seen here, but I'm certain from my experience as a child of God, as a human, I am certain that you experience many stones in your life that you need someone to roll away. I'm certain that there are times we come up to the place and we wonder, what should be my next move? I'm certain that there are times we don't know where to turn. But I challenge you again this morning. I encourage you again this morning to look to the Word of God. To cry out to God. To allow the Spirit of God to live in your life and control you. And the stones will be moved. There is nothing out there that is bigger than your God. From a young man, I heard it this way. There is nothing above our head that is not under God's feet. Nothing above our head that is not under God's feet. And so this morning, there is no stone too big for him to roll and to sit on. Come see the place they were told. Come see the place. Come experience for yourself. Come find out for yourself. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Christ is not there in the tomb anymore. Where can we find him? Where can we find him? I dare say this morning that he must be found in the lives of you and I as his people. A thought that came to me as I studied here. There are two verses. Romans chapter 6, I believe we have one of those verses. Romans chapter 6. And the other one comes from Ephesians, I believe, chapter 2. That must be Philippians chapter 2 then. Yes. All right. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 is the verse I really want. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1 says, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. How shall we that are dead to sin, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin? And this morning, brethren, the question is, what is the difference? Dead to sin and dead in sin. What is the difference? I'm not a scholar of the English language for sure. You probably already found that out. I'm certain that you have already come across some mistakes I made, and I'll probably make some more yet. But the word in and the word to are the two words we are looking at here this morning. Dead to sin and dead in sin. We want to tie this in this morning with the stone being rolled away. And I hope we can make the connection. How shall you that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It reminds me of a verse there in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. And this, brethren, to me is what makes the difference. Dead to sin and dead in sin, and the difference is the empty tomb. The stone rolled away. The spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. It shall quicken you. You are no more dead in sin if the spirit of God lives in you. It tells us right here in Romans here that if we have the spirit of God, then we are the sons of God. And we are dead to sin. We have had the stone rolled away. The barrier has been removed. The Spirit of God has free flow within us. You and I can now sit upon the stone as victorious in Christ. If the stone has been rolled away, it means that the tomb is empty. It means that Christ has moved from the tomb to your hearts and now dwell in you through his spirit. What are we seeing this morning? What are you seeing this morning? When you look down into the sepulchre, into the tomb, are you seeing? Are you seeing this morning that Christ is not there? Do you know for a fact that it's not even worth looking in there because you know where to find him? Because you have that joy in your heart when Jesus came into your heart. Because Christ is risen. And Christ is risen because I know that he lives within me. And because he lives within me, then I can live also. And this is why we are quickened. This is why we live. Because the spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. There were many people that were affected that morning. Many people affected that morning. Maybe this time I go to John chapter 20. But this morning I'm glad that the tomb is empty. I'm glad because it made the difference, all the difference in the world. It makes the difference in your life as an individual. It makes the difference in the world today. We gather here this morning and we are talking about Easter. We are talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ to give praise and glory to God who moved the stone away, who sent his angel to roll the stone away. And that same God today still moves stones for you and for me. And so as we think of Easter, we want to think of the empty tomb. The empty tomb that provides hope in a hopeless world. Hope in a hopeless world. Think about it. Let's read a few verses from John chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. And it was yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And that was to her a very hopeless situation. And if the story had stopped there for us as well, it would have been a very hopeless situation. But I'm certain this morning that we are all glad that that was not the end of it. Verse 3 says, Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And I like the urgency here. I like the fact that there was a question about their Lord. I like the fact that they have lost contact with their Lord, and they wanted that to be restored. And they put themselves into it. They run forth. They run. Too often we find ourselves as Christians dragging our feet when it comes to things of God and the church. Too often we don't put ourselves into serving God as we should. I've heard it said this way, that if God would give us to live with 10 times more than what we give to him, how well would we live? And it's not only finances I'm talking about. It's basically our time, our life of service to God. If God would restore to us 10 times as much as we give, how many of us would literally die of starvation? How many of us would have no time to get anything done in this world, in this life? And we could take it across the board. But how is your life of service? How enthused are we? How much do we put into it? When have the last time you have gone out of your way? And maybe I'm stretching it too far, not even going out of your way. But when was the last time we have made room for others? For others. Not going out of the way yet. Is there a stone that needs to be rolled away? The empty tomb speaks of hope in a hopeless world. And I'll tell you what, if we ever live in a hopeless world, I think it's the time we are living in. There are so many people out there, and you would be surprised to know it doesn't take much at all to restore some kind of hope in their lives. I heard the brother this morning speaking about the work project that they had there in where it was. And that's wonderful. That's beautiful. I love that. I love that. Where was that? Somebody help me. Mississippi, right? Good. But let me tell you something. You don't have to go to Mississippi. You don't have to go to Mississippi. Do you really think you have to go to Mississippi? And there is nothing wrong in going to Mississippi. There was a need. There still is a need. But we don't have to go that far. On a daily basis, on a daily basis. There are stones that need to be rolled away right in our setting. And God would like to roll those stones away if we let Him. But hope in a hopeless world. And we this morning, we speak, and people hear us speak, and people will think that we are the hopeful. And we are, because we trust in God. But sometimes we become the selfish hopefuls as well. So many people searching in this world for forgiveness, for hope, for meaning to life. The good news is, brethren, that the God who rolled away the stone, the God who rolled away the stone from the tomb, is the same God today that wants to roll away the stones from our lives and for the lives of the people that we have contact with. May we be used to His honor and His glory. A bruised reed will He not break, and a smoking flock will He not quench. And this morning, I'm afraid that we find ourselves so often enjoying to trample on the bruised weeds. Enjoying the sizzling song of the water as we extinguish the smoking flocks. I'm not talking only about church setting here. I'm talking in our lives in general of the people that we meet. Of the people that we meet. We are quick to cast judgments sometimes. We are quick to condemn sometimes. But may we this morning ask God to remove the stone of coldness and hardness of heart, that we may feel with those people in whom we see there is still hope, there is still a little bit of smoke coming, that are hurting. The great message is, brethren, if Christ was powerful enough to move the stone and to overcome the grave, do you not think that He is powerful to remove the stones and overcome and help you to overcome the obstacles that we are faced with in life? The resurrection today gives us that hope, that courage, something to live for. Man alone was not the only representative there. God sent His angel. He sent His angel to roll away the stone. And we know the angel did roll away the stone. And the angel invited them to come, look and see. Come and see the place where He laid. The evidence is there. God wants us to see the empty tomb and to feel the infilling of His Spirit. If you are seeing an empty tomb and you are not experiencing the infilling of God's Spirit, then you still have not experienced the resurrection. The resurrection. Because that's what it's all about. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. That's what makes the resurrection meaningful. The stone rolled away, and we have many witnesses. There were many surprises at the empty tomb. Everyone involved, surprised at the outcome. Now, there are some people who were surprised who should not have been surprised. The disciples were told. They should not have been surprised. But you know what? This was a brand new experience for them. They couldn't really fully understand what it was all about. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in that position. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it, the psalmist said. But I am thankful this morning that when we speak of the resurrection, when we speak of the fact that Jesus is alive, when we speak of the fact that he died for you and for me, when we speak of the fact that he now lives within us, we can understand that because this is what gives us the song and the joy in our hearts. This is what makes life worth living for us. That we can live a life that now bring glory to God. And if our life, if your life and my life, if we are not bringing glory to God, we need to have the stone rolled away. And God still moves stones. We need to pray, God, remove the stone of selfishness. Remove the stone of doubt. Remove the stone, anything that will stand between you and myself. The soldiers were surprised. The Pharisees were surprised. The religious leaders, the disciples, the world at large. But today we don't have to live in surprise. Today we can bask in the experience that Christ is alive because of the life that we now live. And we can say like in Galatians 2:20 there, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The Lord is risen. And he lives within me. He lives within you. This morning I trust that it's a personal experience we are having. The soldiers, they had a very hard time. They had a very hard time. And we know the story. They had to come up with something that others could believe. Pilate and all the others. And they came up with something that didn't make sense. But when people choose not to believe, they believe a lie. They end up believing a lie. They end up going against other principles that they should stand for. We all know the stories of soldiers and you know how they would carry on in those days. I mean, if you fall asleep on your watch, it's dead. It's dead. And sometimes when we try to make excuses, we open ourselves so wide that it would have been better had we just accepted our wrong in the first place. For these soldiers and everybody else who tried to cover up the truth, it's a downhill story for them. And in the end, eventually, as it is today, the fact that Christ is alive still persists. Still persists. We stand for something or we fall for anything, somebody will say. There was much excitement. The women were excited. Peter and John were excited. The soldiers were excited. The Jewish leaders were excited. On the wrong side of the coin, because they realized now, that we are really defeated. Really defeated. So there was much excitement. And people do a lot of things in excitement. But basically, if your frame of mind is not right, you will not do the right things. And this is what happened to them, to the soldiers, to the leaders there, the church leaders at the time. But brethren, I'd like us to catch a little bit of this excitement ourselves. We probably woke up this morning and somebody, maybe some of us did not even think of the fact that this is Easter Sunday. Right? And maybe we don't want to get hung up so much with the day, more than the occasion. Right? So, but think of the fact that this is the time that we think of the resurrection. This is the resurrection morning. This is the resurrection morning. There should have been within us a stirring, an excitement as we give special emphasis to this day, what it means to us. How excited are you this morning? How excited are you about that? Think about it. Where is Muhammad today? If you want to find him, where would you go? To his grave. Buddha is in his grave. Confucius is in his grave. Joseph Smith is in his grave. Where is Christ this morning? He is risen. But where is he? Where is Christ this morning? Huh? What's the evidence of Christ being alive this morning? Huh? Say it. We know that because he lives in our heart. We know something too excited about it. Christ is risen. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll give you 6. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
That's better. Brethren, when we speak of a risen Lord, there should be a twinkle in our eyes. There should be a smile on our face. We should be excited of the fact that Christ is risen, and we know he is alive because he lives in my heart. And I don't care what you experience. I can tell you that Christ is alive because I'm standing here this morning speaking about it because I've experienced that Christ is alive because he lives within me. And there is no one of you out there this morning that can give me your experience and make me feel the living Christ more than the fact that I experience in my very own heart that he is alive. Yes, I may be able to catch some of your excitement, but I won't feel it to the fullest until I've given myself completely over to him and say, I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours. This morning I encourage you If you want to experience the fullness of Christ, the living Christ, open your hearts to Him. Everything hangs on the resurrection of our Lord. And the best way to convince people that Christ is alive is for you and I to live a life where it says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Brethren, Christ is alive. He lives within you. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. We used to sing a song long, long time ago. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me and I want to pass it on. Quicken. When the Bible speaks of being quickened, I know what it is. Because He lives within me. Because I was dead, and now I am alive. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives within me. The stone has been rolled away. The Spirit of Christ have entered my life and yours. The Bible tells us now, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we come to you this morning. We give you thanks, honor, praise, and glory, dear God. Not only for the empty tomb, but for the infilling of your Spirit in us, dear God. Yes, the evidence is there that Christ is not there in the tomb. And we pray this morning that the evidence may be here within our very lives that He is alive because of what He does for us and in us and through us. Continue to work in our hearts. Help us to get across to the world, dear God, the living Christ. Because of the love, the understanding, and everything else that they experience from our working with them, from our dealing with them, dear God, may they experience the living Christ. May it be that the people who rub shoulders with us on a daily basis, those with whom we do business, those with whom we affiliate, those with whom we socialize, may they, dear God, experience the risen Lord. May their lives be better off because they have been with us who is with you. Your will and your way be worked in us now. We give you all honor, praise, and glory. Through Christ we pray. Amen. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Praise God.